What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Tulos Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to Tulos.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
What's going on? It's Rick the Negotiator.
This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and this is Artist Spotlight, presented by The God Show. Let's go, guys. Like, share, subscribe. Please, I just did a call with YouTube. They told me, Ray, you have to remind people constantly to like, share, and subscribe. So please do that. And shout out to our sponsors, Yoko Vaca. Shout out to our sponsor, Tote and Carry. And shout out to our sponsor, Tulos. We love and appreciate y'all. Shout out to you if you want to be on the show or want us to sponsor you. Let's go. But today we have a very special guest, a hit maker. But he's dropping an album.
Yes, sir.
And he's here. I've been knowing him for a minute. I've seen him, the growth. I've been, at least 10 years. We go back to at least the compound
over
days.
Over 10, yeah.
Yep, yep, at least the compound days. Let's give it up for, I was going to say Red Styles to fuck with him, but I'm not going to say that. Elijah Blake, let's go.
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
Don't get mad at me, Peter. Peter's going to be like, no, Ray, don't fucking lie, Ray.
It's not about Red Styles
it's
right
Red
now.
It's Red Styles. It's not that right now. Call him his name, Ray. But yeah, man, appreciate you coming on the show, bro.
Thank you for having me, man.
And, you know, I know you've been doing this for a minute, and you're one of the interesting. You're one of the people that I like to focus on because you're the smart artist to me. Let me tell you what I mean by that. So many artists are coming in the room trying to get on, and all they see is them getting on. They don't see that they can add value to the room. Wow. So you come in the room and you realize you are an artist, but you're like, I could write too. And you use that to your advantage. That's why you don't look like a struggling artist.
I love that you said that.
Make sure you get his shoes. Ain't nothing struggling so about wrong. Him, bro. He's not a struggling artist, guys. And to me, I'm gonna keep handing you the floor. But I want to say the reason why it's important that you don't struggle is because you got to give God a chance to enter.
Ooh.
And a lot of people think that they can make the steps happen on their own. But I always say most of us lose because we burn out because we want it so bad.
Yeah.
So if we got $1,000 to spend for the year, we spend that shit the first week of the year thinking, I'm going to get on, not knowing that week two is coming. And if that shit don't work, you are fucked.
Exactly.
And I see so many people fucked. So I wanted to give you that because the object is to get in the game and take care of your family.
Come on.
The object is to get in the game, and once you get in the game the way you did, you can make a conscious, clear decision about where you're going. Rather than, you know what I'm trying to say, like trying to figure it out, like all these people trying to figure out hitting Wardell and Catherine for checks. Man, just help. It's like, bro, this shit don't work like that, man. Nah. You got to go get that work.
Yeah. And I love that you said that because I truly believe that it's no coincidence what's happening with artists like myself, Money Long, Victoria Monet.
Yep.
I feel like we are the last batch to go through a lost art, which is artist development.
Yep.
We got to be that fly on the wall and sit back and watch. Oh, damn, these are the plays that Usher has to make. Because you know, especially with Teron, the secret is that you are privy, because a lot of business gets handled in the studio. That's where we live. That's where Rihanna lives. That's where they live.
That's where the babies we're making is made.
Exactly. So I actually remember when I was working with Cole on Vendetta, and Ebe walked in. He was like, okay, this is how we're gonna route the tour. And Cole's like, well, why we gotta route it this way? Why don't we do this? Why don't we hit these markets? And so when you were talking about that, I remember being in the studio. And so they'll have that conversation because it's a safe space.
Yep.
So I feel like I got to sit there and watch the sacrifices and watch the commitment and same with Money Long. She got to sit there and see that with, Rihanna and all these other artists, and is also with Victoria Monet. I'm sure there were conversations she was privy to just from being around a superstar, a megastar like Ariana, and the discipline of it all. And then, because
I want you to focus on discipline, though.
Discipline,
because I want you to focus on that because people will hear discipline and think you're speaking about like standing up straight, holding your shoulder. Like I want you, because you are a master at this. I want you to speak on what disciplines you had to take on, that being in the game the way you did. What did it teach you? What are the disciplines?
The discipline is also one of the biggest things right now. I'm learning like always show up on time.
Mm.
And my dad taught me that the person who shows up on time controls the room. Mm. So when you look at, like, if you talk to Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, and you're like, well, you're Elon Musk, or why you got to show up on time? You own the company. Mm-hmm. But when you show up late, obviously, like 5, 10, 15 minutes late, it's things different. Happen. But when you show up late, you're now at the mercy of the person who you're apologetic. Your posture mm-hmm. is different. It's, I'm so sorry.
Now you're making up.
Exactly. Yep. So now they control the meeting. So if it's a $100 million deal, you're already coming in at a disadvantage. Yep. Because you're apologizing, you're submissive in that way to try to show them that you're, you know, like you're really apologetic about yep. it. So that's one of the things. And also with Usher, I remember it was one point where he was playing me songs before the session started that didn't make Confessions. And these songs sounded incredible. I'm like, oh my God, why didn't this make it? I'm a kid at this point. Yeah. Oh, why didn't this make it? And he's like, just because it's great doesn't mean it's a part of the story. So now I understand with my storytelling, like that's why I bodies of work create superstars.
I just want to let you talk. Just
uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a, and you'll see that. You'll hear a song album nowadays, and it's just like, why did you take? I won't say no names because I get it. People are playing streaming games, but that's why these artists can't sell concert tickets. They're breaking streaming records, but what am I buying into? What is the story? What is the confessions of it all? What is the my life of it all? Who are you? Why would I buy this shirt? I'm gonna buy this shirt from Mary. I'm gonna buy this shirt from even Taylor Swift because I know what she's selling me. Mm-hmm. And these artists, they just want to play streaming games. So it's like, oh, let me just put everything out. A 30 song project. I'm not gonna. My attention span is short now.
Yeah.
How am I gonna listen to that and really understand who you are as an artist? So with this project, that's why I said it's just Elijah and a period because this is me. This is mm-hmm. everything I've been through. Everything I've learned up until this point. Sonically, what I love: horns, live instrumentations, and like. Stories about my mother, which makes me understand how I love and how I require to experience love.
Yeah. Well, I just want to tell you, you're the shit.
Thank you.
Let me tell you why you're the shit.
Thank you, King.
You're the shit for saying that. I wanted you to tap into the disciplines because, and I'm glad you brought up Money Long. I'm glad you brought Victoria Monet. These are people who I've known. I've been known Victoria Monet since like 2009. I've been known Money Long since like 2007.
Right.
And I was there at the Grammys when she won. And I remember everybody was celebrating her, but I couldn't help but know the real story of her grinding. And she said, I was a little black girl, and I had my book, and I was writing. And time is working for us when we are there. Time is working with us if we allow it to.
Come on, man.
And to me, what I want to speak about discipline is that when you are a songwriter or producer and you make money in the business first, you get a different vantage point.
Yeah.
You get a vantage point of the mistakes the artist makes.
Exactly.
Because everybody is there for the artist. The A&R, the manager, the writer, the producer, the studio. If the artist is not there, we have no business being in the same room.
Come on.
But when you are in the room, then you start understanding. So what reminded me of that is that Rock City, 2013, 14, we go on a run. We can't stop drops, poured up drops, 23 drops. And I remember we have all these meetings because now, by the way, it's so different now because when you had a hit record back then, you was getting offers.
For sure.
You have a hit record now, they don't give a fuck. It's just what the artist. They don't even mm-hmm. care about who wrote it, produced it. Mm-hmm. It's weird how this game works.
Song deals are not even a thing.
They don't
no
even
more.
Care. But it was something that Teron said. So while they're on fire, Teron goes, Ray, I know everybody wants, by the way, whispers it. Ray, I know everybody wants to give us a label deal. Me and my brother are not ready for that. He said, because we still can't make decisions together properly. He said, we need a referee.
Wow.
So his lawyer goes, well, just hire one. He was like, nah, it got to be somebody that's in control.
Wow.
So he chose to sign to Dr. Luke. Mm-hmm. That was an option. That wasn't like that was our only choice. That
right.
was an option.
Right.
And we had success because Teron knew it's me. Like, I know when I'm doing this, it's me. Like, right. I don't see it. The way everybody else see. I could see everything with you, but I can't see it with me.
Yeah.
So when Teron said that, he was like, Ray, we need to get someone who can help us. And his lawyer was like, what the fuck? Why would you sign an artist deal when you get a label deal? And he was like, if I want to do a label deal, I'll do a label deal for mm-hmm. artists. But me as an artist, I'm not ready to sign to my own label because I need help. Somebody telling us, don't sing like that. Don't rap like that. Because we're so talented, we can mm-hmm. do it all. We need someone to say, I don't need none of that from you. I just need this part.
Man.
And when you said discipline, that's the first thing went in my head. I'm like, you have to be disciplined.
Yeah.
You got to be disciplined with your thoughts. You got to be disciplined in your trust of God. You got to be disciplined in your trust of team.
Exactly.
You got to be disciplined in how you move. But the problem is a lot of people want it so bad right now that they miss.
And they think it's them. I do this thing that I don't read my Instagram comments. And even when they're majority positive, right? You know what I mean? Because they will get you to believe that.
Yes.
That it's all you and it's not.
It's not.
It's the people like you. It's the people like Wardell. And the main reason why I almost went back to the major label system, and this is going to actually, I'm speaking from the heart. As an artist who's experienced the major label system, mm-hmm. once you feel that muscle, I think I've done my fans and people, my peers, a disservice, because when I left Def Jam, it was like, independent. Like, forget the majors, they're dying out, and do it yourself. And my first project actually did well because after that, because they were like, we feel like it's coming from you. We feel like the control is back in your hands. But then the project after that, and you know, like you're investing into yourself. And I do pretty well. But at the same time, it's expensive.
Yes.
So it's only so many DIY videos that my fans was like, okay, bro, like.
They waiting for you to go big.
Yeah, I want to feel it. Yes. Now it feels like it's a decline. So then with this project, I'm kind of like, now I feel like I'm letting my fans down and my champions down. So we sat down with Republic and we sat down with Warner and I, but it was eating at my soul. Mm. I was like, ugh, like I'm sitting in, you know, it's musical chairs. So you're seeing the same people that did you dirty at the other places. Labels.
Yep.
They're at, it's like, wait, you're here now? Oh, I definitely ain't signing here.
Yep.
But I sat down and I said, I talked to God and he said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I remember that line because there are other ways to get that machine. So I'm thinking, okay, who does these? Peter Thea. So I went to Peter. I said, but who can give me that? And there's partnerships now because it's not like it was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go with a partnership that can give you the same. If you understand, how much do you need? He said, Elijah, how much do you need? And I said, and he's like, okay, what do you need? I was like, Wardell has known me forever. When I've made my biggest mistakes, he's known me when I was at Def Jam. He's known me when I was a songwriter, when I didn't have anything.
Shout out to Wardell.
He's always like,
that's my nigga right there.
He's here with me now.
That's my nigga right there.
You know what I mean? But every time I would see Teron, I would see you.
Yep.
And I'm noticing that there's a protection that us as artists, we need. Because everything it's a gut instinct. So we're like, we want to do this right now. And we need somebody we trust. Not just somebody who, a 90-year-old dude that just works at the label who's like, no, don't go there. And that's not what the world, how do you know? You're not outside.
That's right.
Wardell is outside. He's at the BMI Gospel Awards. He's always doing things. So I'm like, so I say, I want to do this project and I want to make it me. Help me make it me. Help people see me the way you see me. So he's like, singing your chest voice on these parts. Okay, but then on this record, go back and do the falsetto in this part. You love horns. Why not add horns here? Let's get live strings on this project. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to what you're saying. It's like finding my referees with Wardell and Peter and my team now. Artists have to understand that you got to have your team, and then the partnership can come and amplify
it. Yeah, because let's be clear, you're independent even when you're on a major.
Yes. Come on.
The minute you think you're on a major is the minute that you've lost.
Come on, bro.
You have to think you're independent 24/7, 365. You have to wear the ownership of everything.
Come on.
Because it's yours.
Yep.
You are the brand. And if it don't work, it's your fault. Even if you got the wrong people in the place, it's still your fault because you decided to let somebody else drive rather than you driving
yourself.
Exactly. And you knew that because you it's like you're talented. Like,
yeah.
I manage talent for a living, so I know how talent works. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, discipline. And it's hard working with talent because a lot of times, and Wardell, you know this, is like, they want it now.
Yeah.
Man, go get me a check. I'm like, dog, you gonna give it all away before it's worth something.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this video. Changed my whole life. I think I might have said this once, but it was a video of a guy and he went and bought $2,000 gold bars. Like, he probably bought like 10 of them, like gold, real gold bars.
Right.
And he goes to the mall and he's handing it out to people. And he's like, I got something for you. And people are like, oh, I'm good. And he was so like, okay. And then, you know, I'm watching, I'm like, what? Why is this important? And then, you know, the guy that was narrating said, did you notice how bothered he wasn't by anybody? You know why he wasn't bothered by no one saying no? Because he knew he had money in his hands. And it's like, well, that's your loss.
Right.
So if you really believe in yourself, a no shouldn't bother you.
Facts.
Because you should know, I feel bad for you then.
Facts.
Right?
Facts.
So what I say that to say that a lot of talent, they give it up to anybody who smiles at them, ends up at the end, and then blames everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You the one that was like, I'll give you my publishing if you give me $20,000. You the one that was like, bro, just sign me and I'll do this. You was the one that said
that.
You was the one that said that, and they did what you said, and now your shit is working, and now you don't want them around. Now we don't like each other.
Crazy.
Now it's like, when you needed the $20,000, you loved me.
Right.
But now that it's time for me to eat, you don't want me around anymore.
Yeah.
Nigga, you gave it up.
It's a selfish game, man.
You gave it up. You cannot... give it up and then get mad when someone gives does something with it. It's just not the world we live in.
Yeah. And that's how I feel now with my artistry. It's like, I came into it as an artist, but like you said, I didn't want to be the struggling artist.
That's right.
Like, I wanted to live a certain type of way. I saw black. Actually, when I first moved to Atlanta, this is the first time I saw black excellence at this, at the magnitude that it is, right? So I'm like, oh, I want to live like this. And all the artists didn't have money. They were broke. But the songwriters, Dream, Teron, when I see Fauntleroy, Claude Kelly, I'm like, oh, I want to live.
They got it.
I want to live like y'all. Okay, well, and then Trey would always tell me, he's like, yo, I always tell you, you got a great voice, but like, you have a gift for storytelling. And I'd be like, man, that's just because you got, you know, Chef Tone and everybody flying to work. You know, you Trey songs, everybody want to write with you. But he was like, no, you have a gift. He would always, I'm like, why is he going out of his way to say this? And I will always be grateful for that because I just felt like I was writing songs because nobody cared enough to write for me in a developmental phase as Red Styles. But once I saw my first check from Jupiter Love, and you know what I mean? And I was able to pay my mom's mortgage off, and now I'm able to be effective just as a man in my life and driving the car.
Which makes you more confident in your abilities.
Exactly. Yep. And like you're saying, I'm not begging the labels to sign me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to learn. It's like Mystique from X-Men. You go over here, get the superpowers over here, figure out, okay, why do they love you because of this? And okay, these are my, and then you hear it. Like, I remember my first session with Kelly Rowland. She was like, where's your record deal? When I went in there to do the reference, she was like,
you can sing your ass off.
Thank you, bro. Period. And she was like, well, where's your record? So now you have your internal champions, and now your heroes are advocating for you. And now it feels like it's time because now I know who I am because I know what I'm not.
And not only that, sometimes you have to see yourself within the picture.
Come on.
And we don't talk enough about how sometimes you just need to see it one time.
Yeah.
Like, I always give Jeff Dixon props because when I was coming up, I thought I was good, and I was like, man, I just want to work for you. And he was like, you don't need me. You can do it on your own. And I'm like, and he said it with so much confidence. Right. But I was like, you know what? I can do it on my fucking own.
Yeah.
And but, bro, when I was coming up, bro, I was trying to give half my management company up to any big dog that would take it. Any big dog that I would have gave half of it up to anybody who would have took it.
Wait, what year was this?
This is when this is 2006, 2007, 2005. I started managing Teron and his brother in like maybe around late 2005. But my point is that you know you have something of value, but you have no money.
Right.
So when you have none of that, you're kind of like, man, if somebody could just help me, I know what I got going to work.
Right.
I just don't want to struggle while I'm on the mission.
Right. Because then you know good.
But then, you know, when you fucked up, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then you start realizing that one day you just look up and it don't look like you're struggling no more. Then people are treating you different. And I'm like, when the fuck did this occur?
Right.
I still feel like the nigga that's trying to get seen.
Right.
So I understand that. I want to ask you something. You wake up, you always been an artist.
Right.
How we get here? I'm going to tell you what I'm trying to get to say.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I know how we got here. You got dressed, you got your shit, you got what day, you got pizza. I know how we got here. But I'm saying, how did we end up here at this time? Because what they also don't speak about, the hardest part for you, I noticed for firsthand, is if I take you away from writing, I'm taking you away from money. Now you can't make the money. So now we might have an 8-9 month gap of us spending money, trying to make it, not making money. And then all of a sudden it's like, fuck, I gotta go back to making money. So I'm asking, like, why today? Why now? What makes you say, because you've always been talented. Like, dog, once I've been hearing Red Style, I was like, that nigga could sing. You've always been that. You always was a good writer. So it wasn't that. It was you was in the rooms, but it was like part of you was like, I know I belong on that stage.
For sure.
And I'm asking, since you've always felt that, why today are you like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going for it now.
God.
Mm.
It was literally as simple as like one time I was sleeping and he woke me up. He was like, it's time now. I was done with the music industry. I'm like, we're not even making enough money like we used to. Because we done seen real money.
Yeah, there's no money in like
it used to be. Before it was like 0.0006. Like, we were seeing song deals. And so I'm like, at this point, the only ones who have to win now are the ones who are doing it because they love it. Because the money ain't, how I used to see MTV Cribs, it ain't that. Nah. So one day he woke me up and he was just like, it's time now. And it's crazy. I assembled this team. I was like putting together like my own version of Avengers. Peter Thea actually passed on me when I showcased for Jive.
Yep.
We just signed Chris Brown. I just don't know where it's gonna work in this scope of things.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I go to Def Jam and then him and Barry move over to Def Jam. Mm-hmm. But when he got to Def Jam, he got it. And he was like, I don't know if they're going to get this. Like, I get it. I remember the he's like, by the way, I'm like, thank you, man. Like, at least the president gets me. He's like, oh, but I'm leaving to go work for Beyonce.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, damn. The one nigga
exactly.
gets me. But
exactly.
I was, God was just taking me through these peaks and valleys. And I really am humbled that No ID kind of took me, when you talk about referees as well, he just took me under his wing and really showed me how to cultivate my sound. So halfway through my career, I became, as opposed to like just a songwriter, the artistry thing was happening. The web was weaving because now I have a sound.
Yeah.
And they weren't coming to me just for the songs. They were coming to me for the Elijah Blake sound. So now, even I took some time off and I wasn't writing for anybody. I just was working on my project, but it just got to the point where people were like, well, what didn't make the project? Can we have that?
Exactly.
And I've had more placements when I'm not going, understanding that I'm not for everybody. Like right now, I think we got a record with Mater. That's number one right now. But I'm not, I haven't been, even been writing for anybody. It's just people saying, okay, this didn't work for me. I started a song for myself, but this might be amazing for Rihanna, and I'll shoot it to Omar. And, you know, oh, yo, she loves the record or whatever like that. So I just think once you lock that in, that is the art. Like, your art is the selling point. And those stories can, you like, I really wake up sometimes. I'm like, damn, I really wanted this for me, but I can't get behind this. This song doesn't reflect who I am.
I always say, you know, you figured out, as an artist, I always tell artists, I'm like, you know, you figured out yourself when you can hear something that you know is massive and say, that's incredible, but that's not for me.
And
I only know that because I manage songwriters who are also artists. So
Our
first record, Losing It, was a Trey Songz demo. Like, you start, so you just start trying to put out any record.
Right,
you start
right.
realizing that, nigga, I was really just doing whatever I thought would work audio, like, you know, to my audio, like in your ear. But I didn't know that there were other important parts. I didn't know the packaging had to be right. I didn't understand that the marketing had to be right. I didn't understand the story.
Right.
The only story was is that I'm dope and you should like my music. That's what I thought.
Right.
By the way, that's what everyone thinks. Everyone. I'm dope, you should like my music. It's like,
it don't work that way.
So much more than that.
How can you get the people to be invested? Why do they want to dress like you? Why do they want to look like you? I always tell people, they drag Aaliyah so bad now. They're like, I'm looking back at it, I don't even see what's... But no, Aaliyah made the girl next door feel special.
Yep.
She made them feel like they can dress like her. If they put the swoop over the bang and put the sunglasses, they were cool. They were Aaliyah for a day. That type of intellectual property or being able to... You can market anything. That's why she was in the movies way before. We just now, you know what I mean? Like, artists are going... Aaliyah was going to do The Matrix, you know? So... Who she was, or I heard L.A. Reid said, if they can't dress up like you for Halloween, you don't have a signature look.
I say that. I didn't get that from him, though.
Really? You say that?
I always say that.
That is crazy.
He might have got that shit from me. I ain't gonna lie.
He might have got it from you, then.
And I'm like, nigga, he ain't never said that to me. And I was with him all the time. I think he heard me say that before.
He probably got it from you, man.
It's all good. I got so much shit from him, it don't even fucking matter.
But
I'm glad you said that because I always tell people, I'm like, if you put out a music, first of all, last year there were 36 million songs dropped in 2023. 36 million songs. That's a small country, number one.
Right.
36 million songs dropped. Out of the 36 million songs that dropped, about 10,000 came from majors. 36 million songs and 10,000 came from majors. That means that anybody could do it now.
Exactly.
Which means that we don't have a shortage of music as a problem.
No.
Like, we ain't never heard anybody say, we need more music. It's no shortage of music.
Mm-hmm.
We need more artists.
Come on, bro.
More stars. We need motherfuckers that understand that they have to create a relationship with a group of people, and them people have to love them for everything they are. And the easiest way to do that is to be yourself.
Come on.
Because if you be yourself, at least you get people that's your tribe rather than... His tribe. Just get your tribe.
Yep.
And they come to you for whatever reasons that they come to you for. So let's get into the projects. It's called Elijah, period, which is a statement.
Yeah.
I love that. How many, in what order is this project? Like, is this your third? Is your fourth?
This is my fourth full-length project.
That's what it's an EP or LP. It's an LP.
LP.
How many songs?
12 songs.
Okay, cool. I was about to say, see, I know y'all season.
No more than 12 songs. And I didn't want to do 12. I wanted to do 9.
If you would have said 14, I would have been like, just cut it down to 12.
Nah. 12. I wanted to do 9, but legally and contractually, I owe the label.
So you do 12, so you have 12 songs coming, and this song's called Elijah. What makes this album's called Elijah. I'm sorry. What makes this album? So let's say everybody heard the first three, gonna hear these next, hear this one too. We already got them. Whoever heard the first three, they coming.
Exactly.
What makes this something that the people who haven't heard the other three feel like, we gotta come in and fuck with this guy? Like, what is it about this project that you feel like makes people come in?
It's all the things that I kind of shied away from, that I was embarrassed about. Like, I don't know why when I first got signed, they made it seem like being a songwriter was like the worst thing. My mind is blown. Like, with Def Jam, it was never that the music wasn't good. It was this whole like weird undertone of like, well, is he a songwriter or is he an artist? And I'm just kind of like, damn, do I got to pick? And I sat down one time and I said, Lauryn Hill, singer-songwriter, Prince, singer-songwriter, Joni Mitchell, singer-songwriter, John Mayer, singer. I'm like, well, I don't got to pick. Because my great, Stevie Wonder, the people who inspired me don't have to pick. So I've embraced the storytelling side of myself on this project. And I said, I'm going to do it more now.
So we're going to hear some amazing stories.
It's not about all like the extra. It's just real intimate stories.
True stories.
Things about my mother. Things that make me who I am. Things that separate me. It's like, okay, you got Chris. You got Jivion. But this is why I'm who I am. This is what me being a Caribbean got people. Like, I came. You didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even born here. I was actually born over there.
Where you was born?
Dominican Republic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm Haitian as fuck. Can I cuss something?
Much you fucking want to.
Everything about me, like, I love Haitian food. French is my first language. I didn't speak English till like I was 6 years old. Yeah, like, we didn't come over here till. So these are things that I'm talking about on the project to say, this is who I am. And when you do a self-titled project, you got to talk your shit. Like, I got to walk away. Oh, that's, I know who you are now. Because, and I understand why it's self-titled. So that, me being a church boy.
Yeah.
So all my harmonies and arrangements are that tenfold.
Mm.
Because I just want to show the nuances and the intricacies that separate me from everything. Because you're right. It's like 60,000 songs come out a day. Why do I want to listen to you? Okay, no, I'm going to listen to you over the 60,000 other songs because I resonate with your gift of the riffs and runs that you do, because that reminds me of how I grew up on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. I resonate with you because you're a Caribbean and your parents are a part of the diaspora movement. Mm. I resonate with you in that way. Yeah. I resonate with you because of, you were molested at a young age. Mm-hmm. And as black men, we're made like to feel like we can't talk about it.
Sure.
But then when I only work out with like NFL athletes and NBA athletes. And when I finally said, I'm going to take back that narrative and I'm going to talk about it, because I did a song called Mama Knows. And
that's hard.
When I talked to them about it, they're like, yo, bro. Like, they'll whisper it to me like, me too.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you understand, in this silence, it makes black men, young black men, the main target of this, because they know that they can do this shit to us and we'll never talk about
it. Yeah, because we're too cool to talk about it.
Yeah. And then they'll say, well, what did you do at 6 years old to make that person want to touch you?
Mm.
And I remember when I finally put that song out, this guy DM'd me. He was like, bro, I'm weeping writing you this. I get chills talking about it. He's like, I'm weeping while writing this to you because I have to go to church and look at the pastor that touched me as a child.
Oh, wow.
Who's protected by religion, protected by the church, with my wife and kids, and see them look at this nigga as he's the second in command to God.
Oh, no.
So
that nigga would have got fucked up at the front of the
church.
You feel
me? But he's protected in that secrecy and all those things.
God knows.
Yeah.
And I walk away and be like, God knows that nigga
did. God knows what happened.
Y'all don't have to know. God knows what that nigga did to me. He know what he did too. That's why he ain't calling the police on me right now. Stay your ass down on the ground.
So you got a current single out now, Ghostbuster.
Ghostbuster.
And that, what's the concept?
So that one even talks about just unpacking childhood traumas and why I keep attracting the same person that hurt me over and over, because that ghost still looms in this haunted house in my mind. And I wonder, like, why do I keep attracting these people in my life? And until I deal with that, they'll just keep coming back around.
Bro, I'm glad you said that. People don't understand how everything they have is what they've attracted.
Mm-hmm.
If your life is fucked up, you've attracted that. Right. You might not think it. Even if you allow someone to run over you, it still doesn't matter. You attract, that was what you allowed to happen because you run your life.
Exactly.
And my only issue with artists is that they like to play victim. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can't play victim. This is your shit.
Right.
This is a talent and that God gave you. This is you chasing your dream. You got to be as active as we all are if you want to do this shit. Because if you're not, we're not going to win.
Yeah, you can only take what we do and amplify it and magnify it.
Exactly. So How did Money Long and Victoria, did they, because I was trying to get that. Is their success affecting you? Like, has made you say, you know what, fuck that, it's time.
I feel like people don't know that conversations happen behind the scenes. Like, mm-hmm. When Money Long was transitioning from Priscilla to Money Long, we was on the phone.
Yeah.
Actually, I think her first, before Hours and Hours even took off, I put a Money Long feature on my last project. It's a song called Dark Skin with me, her, D-Smoke, and Durant.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Bernard, who's also like catching his wave now. Yeah. But I remember somebody, I'm not gonna say who, somebody on my team at the time was like, nah, because we were trying to get Ari Lennox.
Yeah.
And it just was a lot of back and forth. And I was like, no, I really love Priscilla's voice. And I'm gonna put money on it. And he was like, who's Money Long? And well, let's just take her. It's making the song too long. Yeah, that's a word, play on words. I didn't repeat. But he's like, it's making the song too long. Let's take it out. I'm like, nah. Mm-mm. Like, I need it. It's the song called Dark Skin. I need a chocolate girl on there. And we put Money Long. He's like, the song's too long. And then maybe a week later, Hours and Hours goes crazy.
Mm.
And I said, remember that girl? Yep. Yeah, you remember that girl I was telling you about? But we were sending each other like ideas on TikToks, and like we just want it differently because it's a part of who we are.
Yep.
So everybody else, they want what comes with it, but we just want to sing. And we just wanted these songs to touch the people.
And not only that, y'all about also been in this shit so long that y'all understand it's some bullshit out here.
Exactly. And we're willing to outwork ready to outwork everybody.
You see it, it's some bullshit. The one thing being a writer producer gives you is direct access to see the artist fucking up.
Yep.
Gave them a hit record and they like, I don't know if I want to sing it. It's like, what?
Right.
This isn't. And you're like, oh, you ain't gonna be around too much longer.
Right.
That, by the way, I don't know if anybody knows. Y'all know that's why Rihanna has a career, right? You know the story about Rihanna in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to let you tell it, though, because they're going to get me.
Yeah, it's true. Like, so basically, what people don't know is that Rihanna was signed to Def Jam. Her first two albums, it was good. Christina Milian was on Def Jam, too. Oh. You know what I'm talking about. Christina Milian was on Def Jam. And at the time, she was fucking with Dre from Kool & Dre. Mm. And, you know, when a girl is messing with a producer that's a hit producer, he usually got power over her moves.
Yep.
So, you know, he was like, nah, she black girl, she saucy, she this. So L.A. was like, oh, okay, she's all those things. Well, let's get that girl from the Caribbean in here. She'll sing those records. And those records, it wound up becoming SOS. It was actually the second album. It wasn't the first
second
third
album.
Faithful
it was album. The second SOS, was the, what's the other one? Oh, shoot.
But those...
No,
that's first album. That's first
Christina
album.
Christina Milian, I can't sing Ponda Replay.
That came out. And you're a producer, nigga. You probably know better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but the point.
Please don't stop the music.
Please don't stop the music. Mm-hmm. All those songs were Christina Milian songs, and she didn't want to sing them. So they gave them to Rihanna. And now look where Rihanna is as an artist, and look where Christina Milian is as an artist. Now, Christina Milian still has a successful career. She's an actor, she's doing great. But I don't know if she sits around and says, looks at Rihanna and be like, fuck, I should have listened.
Anybody would.
How could you? And especially if you and the nigga ain't together no more.
Yeah.
I really should have listened. This motherfucker is gone. So, but that's why Rihanna is as big as she is, because they knew she would take a hit. And a lot of artists have such a big ego that they don't want to take a hit.
Yeah.
They feel like, I don't need that. I could do it on my own. Nigga, I'll take it.
And not only take a hit, but take a hit and make it hers.
Yep.
Yep. I remember when Jay played me Sia's version of Diamonds. And Sia's a very special singer. Mm-hmm. Not that she's gonna out riff you, outrun you, and hit more in the high notes. And
she had a distinct sound.
Like, there's a distinct way of how she, her melismas and how she flips her voice. I actually have only heard her do it that way. So when he played this for me and I'm hearing how she's singing Diamonds, I'm like, who in the hell? And shout out to Coo Carell. Because I saw and online they were like, oh, the new Rihanna Diamond single comes out, you know, in 2 weeks. I'm just kind of like, how are y'all going to get down to pull this off? And when I heard Rihanna's version, I was like, is that Sia in there? Rihanna is a chameleon. That is her superpower. That is her talent, to take a song and to the point now where if Sia sings now, I'm like, oh, she sounds like Rihanna in a way. True. That's you know true. What I mean? But that is her superpower.
You know who else has a superpower? Usher. Mm. Now let's talk about
yeah
the records you did on Usher.
Yeah, man. And he does have that superpower.
Because he ain't never sung a song like that. To this day, he don't have a song like Climax in his.
That's why I'm like, man, I look back and I'm just kind of like, how, what did they want me there to do? Because I was the amateur in the room. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in a room with Usher, Diplo, Mark Pitts. I'm kind of like, what do y'all expect me to bring? So I'm just, when I look back and I'm just hearing, I still hear like how that song has impacted where the music, R&B music is now still today, and mm-hmm. how people are singing. Because mm-hmm. again, at that time, everything was Dr. Luke and David Guetta was like, N-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s. And I was like, can y'all please take the four on the floor? And I know Diplo, he has a hard time remembering things sometimes, but I would implore him to remember this, that there was a four on the floor on that
exactly,
track.
Exactly.
And I was like, at some point, it's got to stop.
Exactly. At some point. And it was... So it was like production wise, it was different because I remember they was like at the time, it was like dubstep or it was like something in there. It was something in there that they was like, that's the song is that. I'm like, it might have been Four on the Floor, but it was something in there. I was like, that's what that song is. They was like, yeah, because but they were speaking about the production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around that time, even people don't know, like Alicia was downstairs and Swizz was downstairs, and there was what Usher has a gift that he'll listen to anybody. If the janitor, and I do this, I practice this in my own music making now, it's like whoever's in the room, like, what do you think? Because information, like, you're dealing with people from different walks of mm-hmm. life. It just takes one word or one to just spark an idea that makes you say, okay, let's try this. So we were listening to all types of like Radiohead, Empire of the Sun, Little Dragon, and Alicia came upstairs and she was like, we went down the Little Dragon rabbit hole and Empire of the Sun. So all those things were permeating in the studio,
yep,
which helped us create this record.
Out of everything you've ever done, what's your favorite record? The Keisha Cole record, Enough.
I was gonna say, you know what, to this, it might because I saw her perform it live the other day.
That's hard. That record is so hard.
Man, and for that, because Keisha's had an amazing, I was on the phone with her actually on the way here, but she's had an amazing career. Like, I don't think I realized it till she did the verses with Ashanti. And just seeing how she hit for hit, and she was writing those. When they brought me in to do that, they needed an up-tempo for her. I'm just kind of like, and she didn't write with anybody at the time, and her and Ron weren't really, like, working. I think he had left Interscope.
Ron Fair, by
the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They keep putting me in these positions to, like, fail. So I just thank God that, like, because I'm coming in after behind Ron Fair, and they need an up-tempo for Keisha. So when I saw her performing, just the energy that that record has, I'm kind of like, wow, I'm, like, really cemented in a catalog of just hits. And she starts her show now with that record. Mm. So I got to say that record. But also, me being from the Caribbean and No Love Allowed for Rihanna, that might, I remember. And she sent notes, actually. Yeah. I remember, like, there was a, no, it was on another song. I was talking about, I just enjoyed seeing that she had, like, input into her thing.
Yeah.
I don't mind giving publishing to, like, artists when they contribute to the overall outcome of it.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it. With UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck. And check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. My issue is when an artist demands a certain type of publishing. And it's just like, but okay, but what did you do for it? Because now it feels like robbery. Now I feel like you're trying to bully me. And I,
it is robbery. The only thing that, so I'm on your side. Somebody helped me see another point to like why artists ask for publishing. It's still a greedy to ask for 10%. But the reason I should ask for publishing is because, let's say if Elijah wrote and produced a song for Rick, right? Mm-hmm. And Trump comes to you and you don't give a fuck. You love money. He's Biden.
Oh, you about to really hit
and
him. Okay.
Now Trump is like, I want to license this record for $1 million. He has no say so. He has no say so in the record being licensed because he has no publishing and no approval rights. So even if you get 0.5%, he can still say yay or nay.
Facts.
And but to ask you for 25, that shit is as criminal as it could be.
It is criminal because when you go on tour for $50 million, for $100 million with the song and the lead single is a song I wrote, what do I get out of it?
And let me tell you another thing I tell people. I'm like, artists, if you look at, let's say Taylor Swift, if you look at Taylor Swift's value, she's worth $1 billion. Her publishing is probably $50 million of that, if that. And that's me reaching.
You said 50?
That's $50 million is her publishing is worth. Probably maybe about 50. It probably about 50 million. But my point is this: is it's not making 50 million and valuation at 50 million. If you want to sell it, I mean. Mm-hmm. But my point is that she's making that much money from 50 million from publishing, 950 million
exactly.
from everything else. Mm-hmm. That 1 million that your record were the you wrote for her, that record that brings in 1 million a year, that ain't shit to her.
So why?
But it's life changing to you.
Exactly.
That's why they shouldn't do it to writers. Now you could take from producers all day. I think producers should give up shit because if can I tell you why?
Come on, you really say
producers should pay. Producers take from producers. Why? They're gonna get paid. They get paid no matter what. Like you can be a producer and make have no hit records. And make a good living.
Can I chime in on this? Wait.
Please, go. I want to piss you off so you can start talking shit.
When I was 15, I was studying. I'm watching. Because, again, I was around Neo. And I was around Teron. And I was around Claude Kelly. And they live well. But they earned it. Like, you hear big songs like Party in the USA. You're like, okay, I know why you got this house.
Yeah.
But then I would get around producers who have, like, a deep cut that I never even heard and have this ginormous mansion.
Yep.
And I'm just like, how are you living as well, sometimes better than the songwriter who has literally wrote the soundtrack of my life?
And to take it further, the producer also, he can make $500,000 to $750,000 a year and never make a hit just off songwriter fees. I mean, just off of production fees.
Exactly.
And
points on the album.
Exactly. And they don't, and writers don't get that. And that's why, take for the producer. Hey, nigga, you know me.
Oh, no, now I'm getting points.
Oh, nigga.
I want points.
Toronto does too. Toronto does too. You won't get me. First of all, do you know why producers get paid and writers don't?
No.
I'm going to tell you. You're going to love this. You know, Wardell, you know why?
Because we're independent contractors.
No, that's not why. Okay, so let me tell you why producers get paid. Dr. Luke taught me this. Because the songwriter maintained 100% of the copyright. The producer was hired by the label to, because you will write a song, right? Mm. Think about it. You will write a song. It could go to Luther Vandross. It could go to Dolly Parton. It could go to, and the producer was selected based on that. And his fee, because he owned no publishing, was his fee and points. That's why producers get paid, because they were the hired contractors. The copyright is owned by the songwriters, because songwriters back in the day would write songs on guitar or piano. So think about the girl that wrote Man in the Mirror. Right?
Yeah.
Saida Garrett, right? The woman. Sorry, Saida Garrett. Saida Garrett wrote that song with another white guy on a piano. They once Quincy takes it, he produces it.
Right.
He gets the fee. The writer owns everything. That's why the big songwriter, the woman,
Diane Warren.
I was gonna say what she taught me. I learned that. Nigga, we was doing the record I was A&R Sierra's album, and Harmony. Shout out to Harmony Samuels. She produced a record on there that she wrote. Mm-hmm. And Harmony's manager at the time called me and was like, "Yo, I need your help." And I'm like, "What?" Mind you, I'm new. I've been in the game, but I never heard this before. And she was like, "Can you see if you can get Harmony some publishing on a record?" I'm like, "Why he ain't getting publishing? It's his record." And she was like, "No, Diana Warren don't give up publishing to nobody at all.
At all."
So we wound up giving him like a high fee, and I think we wound up giving him more points. But
shout out to Harmony. He did Enough of No Love as well.
I love Harmony. That's my nigga. Yep. But what I'm saying is that producers were hired by the label to finish the song that was owned by the songwriters.
Mm. And I learned what you're saying from Diana Warren, because she did a song on my album that was on Def Jam, and I love this record, and I brought it to No ID. And I'm like, "Yo, Diane Warren wrote me a song. Like, I can't wait to record it." And he was like, "We can't do nothing with that." Mm-hmm. Well, I can't do nothing with it. I said, "What you talking about?"
Yeah.
And No ID's a super producer. Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, like she don't
get published. She don't get published with nobody."
So she's flipped it. Now she hires because now you're a work for hire, because if you do the beats, she hired you to do the drums. She hired you to do the guitar, but she's the producer. So she's making herself the Quincy. And that's what I've been doing on this project as well, too. So I've been sitting down because I do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'll sit there and I'll be like, it don't matter who the producer is. I'm like, "Yo, let's do this beat drop." And a lot of the real songwriters who are also artists, because mm-hmm. I don't think that those things have to be exclusive, you know.
Right.
I've watched Priscilla and other people be like, "Nah, let's change this." And we do be producing, but because we're coming in the room under a certain cloak, we're not allowed to, or we're seen as problematic when we shift it.
Yep.
So for me now, I'm asking like, "Hey, I just want you to know, like, once my ideas go on this side, I'm technically co-production producer, and I want points."
You gonna give me, nobody has ever in history of life showed up to a concert and said, "I can't wait to hear them play that beat."
Facts.
Nobody has ever went to a concert and said, "I can't wait to hear that beat play." You go to concerts to sing the words.
Or you've never heard a number one when it's just the beat.
That's my point. Is that what I'm saying? So it's like, with that being said, this business has to start. And by the way, it is so fucked up now.
Yeah.
No, Rick. It's writers and producers are fucked in today's market. You gotta pay them. I don't give a fuck if it's $2,000 a song. You gotta pay them.
It's about the song now.
Can I tell you why? Let me tell you why. Because there was a time, you said Rihanna Unapologetic album, you wrote the song on there.
Yeah.
If they bought that album for Pour It Up, he still gets paid the same amount of money we get paid. Now, we might get an ASCAP check because our record's on the radio, mm-hmm. but right. the money from that album, we make equal money. Now, we can listen to whatever we want on demand. So we got 3 songs on the album. Mm-hmm. Your song got 1 billion streams, my song got 1 billion streams. Your song got 60,000 streams. We on the same album. Mm-hmm. You get the same plaque I get.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I just probably made $300,000-$400,000 more than you did.
Right. Off of radio royalties.
More than that. Depends. Mm-hmm. Radio royalty, you to my shit, or pop song, you to my $700,000-$800,000 you can make off of just one record.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to get to. Like, it's like now artists are like, "You can make my album." That don't even mean shit no more.
No.
I probably lost money being on your album. I probably lost money being on your album because I want a plaque. I want to get my manager a plaque. Nigga, that's $1,500. I only make $1,300 from the album.
Now I spent $200. Now I'm in the hole.
I'm in the hole.
I'm in the hole $200 now.
So that's why it's so fucked up. That's why I'm like, dog, don't think that these songwriters are coming out because their time. They're coming out because it's like, y'all ain't gonna play me. I'd rather put this shit out my motherfucking mm-hmm. self.
The risk don't outweigh the reward anymore.
Man, then the reward don't even outweigh the risk of giving them the record.
Exactly, because y'all, it might not get a video. At least with me, it's not gonna sit on my laptop. Yep. It's not gonna be a filler on your project. The visual will get a chance. I can put maybe a couple, what I got behind it, so that somebody can hear it.
But let me tell you another thing. It's also, I tell every writer and producer, if they're listening to this, put your songs out. Let somebody put out. I have a song that we did that we cut on, what's her name? Kim Petras, Everything Reminds Me of You. And then we cut the same exact song on Juice WRLD and Kid Laroi a year later.
Kim Petras blows up.
Kim Petras, no, Kim Petras was blowing up, but we made money from that record on two different things because Kim Petras's world doesn't interact with Juice WRLD's world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you could give, sometimes you can give somebody to say, and by the way, now we're giving it to Juice WRLD, the pup, we have the advantage on every side. The song is out, brother.
Yeah.
You can't say you did anything. Like, we hear the original version right now.
Yeah.
Now we hear your version. And I think Juice WRLD wrote his verse, Killer Roy. I don't know if he did or not. But the point is, I'm saying is that you have to understand the business that we're in, and you got to put records out. You got to have an output.
There's a song that stood on my laptop for 6 years. I wanted it to be my first single. I mean, I just want to went on to, that's what the label wanted. It was the club bop. You know how they say every artist, your first single is the one you hate the most. I said, that would never be my story. It became my story. Mm-hmm. The way that happened was, we turned the album in and No ID was like, yo, the album is great. They're not saying the album ain't good, but you don't got the single. And I was literally in the booth and I said, I bet if I went in the booth and said, I just want to get fucked up. And No ID was like, wow, you playing?
That's hard.
Just give me that.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls me aside. He's like, just give me that.
Consciousness. That's why, consciousness. You got to be conscious to win.
100 million streams later.
Yep. That was, you know, did that Harmony. What, Major, This Is Why I Love You. You know that song, Major?
Yeah, of course.
You know why he made that song? He was singing that to Popeye's Chicken. He was on the phone with Harmony. And he was like, man, this Popeye is so good. And he was like, this is why I love you. And Harmony was like, hold on, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what? I'm playing it. And he was like, nuh-uh. Come. And they made the record.
Yeah.
Goes platinum. You gotta be willing to pay attention.
To those who know what the fuck they talking about.
True.
These niggas don't get here by, like, Ray Daniels don't happen on accident. Wardell Malloy, No ID, those type of.
Oh, you put work in and they understood and they've been through the trenches. They fell on their head, you know, they got back up, kept going and won.
But not only that, you just start understanding that no one wins every day.
Nope.
The only thing that separates the greats from the niggas that's not great is the niggas that didn't give up.
Come on, I'm gonna get that tatted on. Better. No one wins every
day.
They
got better.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you gotta do. Head was on a swivel. Damn. Because sometimes you'll put records out and be like, damn, I put this record out. Why nobody like it? Damn, I thought it was good. Man, they don't want that from you. Give them what they want from you.
Come on.
Dog, come on, bro. So
to that, there's another song that's, I wanted that to be my first single. They didn't get it. So when I left Def Jam, the company I went with was just like, just give us something so we could show you that our avenue. I said, okay, there's a song I really love called Black and Blue. Just put it out. It was sitting on my laptop for 6 years. That song now has 30 million streams between all platforms.
Mm.
I promise you I've made more off that song being out than it's sitting on my laptop.
I'm sure.
Bruh, and not only that, it's, if it's out and someone hears it and wants to take it because it hasn't been heard by the world, nigga, now you have someone doing a cover to your song. The change,
talking that
come
shit.
On,
Sam changed. Smith DMs me,
mm-hmm.
maybe like 2 weeks after that song comes out. He's like, oh, I love this record. There's a Run You Do on the second verse, and I'm playing it in my garden. You know, but those are the things that now help have uplifted my songwriting because now my artistry is the selling point. People hear my song on the radio. They see me perform a song. They're like, oh man, get him. I really love his artistry. So I'm not coming in begging. The positioning is a little different.
Yeah.
They know they want me when I walk in the room, as opposed to live, like, can you please believe in this record?
No, and not only that, you didn't give them a choice. That's why I say, like, stop asking people what they think. That's the worst thing artists do. They play a song and say, what do you think? Now, here's why it's the worst thing. You really want to hear them say they like it. And usually, if they say they don't, you're like, well, it's all of a sudden it's an argument now. I don't like it. Well, what about this? It's like, bro, stop asking people what they think. Yeah. I don't wear clothes and say, who likes my outfit?
Right.
I like it.
Because you're comfortable in it.
I'm comfortable in my skin. I understand that all of us have insecurities. All of us have fears.
Yeah.
All of us have worries.
Yeah.
I'm no different than all of us the same. Yeah. It's just the motherfucker that gets up outside of that and does the work is the person that I have to be, because that's the person that wins in the end.
Yeah.
And they usually are the person that people resent the most in the end, too, because they won. But, bitch, you gave up. You sat down. You was like, it's too hard. And I was like, I'm not quitting. I'm keep going. And that's why we are where we are. Question. When is the project drop?
The project drops August 2nd, I believe.
August 2nd. And who you put it out through?
I'm putting it out through Monarch.
Shout out to Monarch.
Shout out to Monarch. But also, no, actually, I take that back because I'm putting it out through my company, Architect.
Yeah, that's what I said. Who
in partnership.
In partnership.
The reason I'm asking you that, well, yeah. Monarch has he's my writer. He signed to me, Ivory Scott.
Love Ivory Scott.
Yeah, he signed to me.
Love See?
That's what I'm saying.
I tell you, it's not a coincidence. When you watch who's winning and who's things that's happening, we got to cheer on the champions. I want to celebrate. And so maybe not on this show, but to celebrate y'all and like the people, because it's not a coincidence. And y'all don't never get y'all flowers. We talk about like, well, why doesn't this artist? But it's people that y'all are on calls every day. Y'all are fighting with us because artists, we're it's like food, right? We want sushi one day, we want pizza the next day, we want chicken, and you guys have to be able to be like water. No ID would always say be like water in that way, and it's taxing on y'all too.
Shout out
man.
To No ID. No ID is an incredible person.
Man, an incredible person.
He is. I call him Yoda.
Oh, yeah. They all do.
You will not get in a room with him and not be better.
Yeah. We have to have a talk because I went through a process where when Def Jam was dismantling and I felt betrayed, I don't know, just as an artist, you kind of put everybody in that boat. And that was like, I get that, you get what I'm saying? Like, and I love that we have.
I hate to keep preaching, but when an artist signs to you, that is the ultimate compliment they can give someone.
Yeah.
Is that because they're handing someone their dream.
Mm-hmm. And their life.
That's what I'm saying. Basically, their dream. Yes. Like, here's my dream. Please, please.
Handle it with care.
Yeah. Like, you. So all of those things come into place and it makes it very hard. So when Erica Grayson left Interscope, it was hard for me because we were so close. It was like, and that's my sister now, but it was the middle. I was so mad because I'm like, how the fuck are you gone? Like,
yeah.
I'm in here fighting these motherfuckers. Like, but then you start, once you get in the game, you start realizing it wasn't in her control anyway.
Exactly.
And it's not in Dion control. And
I don't think Dion, well, he did, but I don't think it was intentional. I don't think he knew the fight that would ensue with when my champion is gone. You the vice president. You're the super producer. You are the greatest hip-hop producer of my time.
Yep.
I came here because of that. And you believed in me. You obviously saw something. It was a bidding war between like I believe him, Epic, and I went here because I felt these things. So for me, it was like we barely could get shit done moving this building with you, who's my superhero. If you're leaving, I'm screwed. And my biggest fear is being stuck somewhere for 6-7 years because I don't even know if he knew, but it's not like I could have went to Def Jam and be like, let me go. It wasn't that simple. They were dropping a lot of artists. And at one point I did feel like, okay, well, I could just say the key man clause, my champion is gone. Let me go. I'll figure it out on my own. But it wasn't that it's lawyers involved. And how do I get out of this deal?
Yeah.
And I just felt alone in that process. Mm. And I just kind of was like, it was a fuck everybody
for
moment.
Sure. But by the way, you were right to do that. And that was a decision he probably wanted you to make.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
right now I need to go do what I got to do for me.
Yeah.
And I need you to do what you got to do for that you.
Because
they ain't fucking around with neither one of us.
At all.
And the best thing that happened to you is him leaving. You know why? Who talks to you?
God.
Deion is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody remember when they were Elijah Blake? Like, that's how to get. I worked at a label. That's how I go. Deion is gone. Who else had no Elijah Blake? Elijah Blake. And it's like, I can. Now, that person got to go sell themselves to you as a whole new coach.
Yeah.
You might not take it.
Yeah.
Now they go back and they're like, you know, just send them home.
Yeah.
And that's probably the easiest way to get up. It's hard to get off the label when your person is still there.
Yeah.
Because they like, why are you so excited to let them go? You here with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the, you got something planned on the outside?
Yeah,
now? You trying
to
sign them over to another label and get some money? It's like, nah, I just want to, it's just, bro, it's just the game. We don't talk enough about how low vibrational people are in the music business.
Yeah.
This is the easiest entry point in the world. It's nothing you could do to make millions of dollars that is easier to enter than music.
No, and think about it, right?
If I like name something else you could do, you could make millions.
If I want to be a doctor, I got to go to school. I can't just wake up and say I'm a doctor. If I want to be a lawyer, I got to go pass the bar. I can't just wait. Even if I believe it, the music industry is the only, even if I want to be an actor, because Lena Waithe, I've been speaking to her recently. Shout out to Lena. I know she probably watching because she supports me so heavily and it's mutual. She approached me about a potential role. But even then, because she had the power to do whatever she wants to, it's like, no, actually, I'll pay for your first acting class.
Mm.
And there's still like a level of integrity.
Still, yes.
You have to, you can't just, I'm an actor. Music industry, a nigga can wake up tomorrow, and I've seen it because some of my homeboys have seen how I live and they don't know what I went through. And they're like, I'm a songwriter today. And I look at them like, no, the fuck you're not. But
no, you're not. No, you're not.
But in their mind, they can go to a situation now and get a deal. You know what I mean? Or
like so it's so low vibrational. Yes, you don't have to have no qualifications. You don't even have to be a good person. You just have to be able to come in there. Sometimes you don't even have to write it. You don't have to produce it.
That's why I said they'll
get
a deal.
Nigga that's signed to you that works and does it. How many producers we get in the room with that don't really produce?
Come on.
That got niggas signed to them?
Yep.
Come on, bro. It's too easy to enter, which is why it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it's changing now. The changing of the guard is happening. I'm glad that, because I feel like since the pandemic, music has been the number one gold rush.
Mm-hmm.
And it fucked us up because everybody came in for money. And y'all know, ain't no investor can put money in music. And if you get your money back, it was going to work whether you put money in or not. Because greats win whether they got money behind them or not.
Come on.
When Jeezy was coming up, they was putting all their money behind fucking Blue Da Vinci. Nigga, they weren't throwing all that money for Def Jam's artist. Jeezy was the homeboy. They was throwing the money for Blue Da Vinci.
Mm-hmm.
Jeezy is who the people picked. Nobody could be mad at that. They can't make the people pick you.
Yeah.
You only person can make the people pick you, me, Wardell, nobody, is you. And that's why I feel like you need smarter people in place, because you need someone that, like a Wardell, like a Peter Thea, because you need someone who's going to tell you the history of it all.
Exactly.
And the habits of it all. And this is what it's like today. It could be different 8 months from now. How many people will you cut checks to that you ain't seen in 3 or 4 years? But it happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you with the right people.
Exactly.
They know, hey, nigga, don't end up like them.
Come on. Right. And even Jason, that's somebody who I brought in this go round to, but I would watch every time I'd be around her, or I'd be around like Tone Stiff or Maida, or like just artists I
that's
admire.
My nigga too.
You, Jason Hoodie, yeah. You know, even like, you on the field with them. I love that.
Mm.
Like, I love when I see a manager like in the field, because then I can bounce ideas off of you because I know you outside.
Mm-hmm. And that means a lot to y'all.
It does.
Because artists don't want to hang around nobody lame.
Let me tell you something. That means everything.
Artists
want to
walk in the room with cool niggas.
Everything. As a manager, as a person that's been a manager that's been outside, that's front line.
Yeah.
That's what I like to call it. You can't be the dude that's sitting in the house directing shots. They don't respect you.
Right. How contradictory is it for a white man to tell me my music is not touching black artists?
Oh, shit.
That
let's go.
They don't
Ooh.
Know how to speak the language. That's how I felt at Def Jam. I was like, they was like, oh, such and such said this record ain't gonna go. And I'm like, who is such and such? And they'll show me a picture. I'm like, this nigga's 90 years old. What does he know about the culture?
Yeah.
He probably has not been to a club
in 20 years
since they was playing disco. Yeah. Are you telling me what's gonna work? Right. You feel me? But now, so I'm like, you know what, moving forward, I'm gonna have niggas around me to protect me from them people. Cause they mean well too. They think that they know the culture.
Sometimes you need somebody to say, man, shut the fuck up, Mike.
Like, straight up.
I bought you fucking 50 Cent 10 years ago. You said the same thing. And he's like, you know what? You're right. I did say no. Son, you need that, bro.
Yeah.
Like, don't play with me. Don't try to play like you know something that you don't know.
No, facts. You can't. Like, it's just not fair. You're trying to tell us, positioning yourself, your whiteness, in the middle of a black artist trying to speak to his group of people is insane. And you really have to fight for that. I'm watching so many artists. That's like, I can't believe I'm having to explain why this is like asinine. Like, I can't imagine, right? But it is. And I still see it now.
But guess what? You see it from a position of a nigga that don't give a fuck, because you know you in control.
Oh, for sure. Because now my thing is, I'd rather fall on my own sword than another nigga's sword.
Facts. No question.
Because those have been my most embarrassing. Everything else I take in stride. Yeah. Even my thing at Def Jam, I'm at peace with it. And I'm like, we had a good run. We had a record that did 100 million or whatever, you know what I mean, streams. And I'm at peace with all of it. It's all a learning curve. What I'm not at peace with is those times where I had a gut intuition and somebody told me no. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it your way. And then that didn't work. But then the nigga that went with my way,
worked.
That shit went crazy.
Bro, listen, we can't lose, man. So last question I ask. Yeah. I want to ask you this. You on top of them. I'm going to complicate it a little, but you good with words. He done said like 5 words that me and Aaron looked at each other. Like, Aaron is like, what the fuck does that mean?
Y'all over there like, yo.
Don't talk down. Talk up. We got to look up. I'm like,
yeah. I saw the dialogue happen. I'm like, am I talking too much?
No. I was like, you're the nigga you said? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool. I don't feel bad. He don't know what it mean. I don't feel bad. But, okay, so I'm going to challenge you real quick. Last question.
For sure.
I want you to tell me, I want you to act like every album that you dropped, the first three, were your yearbooks, right?
Mm.
And when you drop a yearbook, you know, in the yearbook, you put that statement.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me the statement at the end of that those three albums say, and then I want you to bring it home with the fourth album.
All right. So my first project.
What do you write? What's the caption you write so, under it?
Bijou 22, that's my first mixtape.
Okay.
And I remember Jay gave me a week to go in and do it. I was like, yeah, let me do a project. That's me. I had so many features. I was like, I want to go back and talk to that person and say, it's going to be all right, kid.
Yeah.
I want the world, the weight of the world. My mom wanted me to go to college and everybody was just waiting on me to fail. And I just had to submit myself as an artist.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, they're going to feel you one day, kid. Yeah. Like, you'll be
so,
all right.
So the first project is, they're going to feel you one day.
Yeah.
Second album, what they saying?
Second album, that is going to be, I'm going to say that's Drift. None of the shit that you feeling is even going to matter. Mm. Come the next album.
That's hard.
None of that shit that I was depressed.
Yeah.
I was down. None of that shit mattered 6 months later.
Okay. So give me the third.
The third one, that Shadows and Diamonds. You've arrived.
Mm.
Yeah. Because whether it wasn't a huge W, but I put a point on the board with that project.
Yeah, and not only that, you already had hits, so you just need to show you could do that.
Exactly. Elijah Blake, the artist, had arrived.
Once you do that, it makes it so much easier because now they like, if you don't take the record, he gonna put that shit out himself.
Exactly.
Come on, nigga. You already know. I know the game.
Yo, I know you manage like artists because you're taking it. Even the things you said, I'm using big words, but even the parts of me that I can't articulate as an artist. That's why you're an amazing
manager. That's what I do for a living. So I my job is to see you, and I just can't see myself. That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
Third, give me the last one. What is this project?
This album is.
What is the statement? What's the caption of this album?
Honestly, I feel like Usher right now because this is my way.
Mm.
This is my way.
I like that.
Yo, man, I want everybody, let's all give it up. Let's give it for Elijah Blake.
Thank you for having me.
Yo, bro, this was the first artist spotlight that I think we've ever done that we didn't have to give no advice.
No. Wow. We actually listened.
I'm like, this should have been a God show.
That's humbling.
This the first, no, I'm being honest because I'm like, you know, I can sense the holes, and I'm like, this nigga ain't got no holes. This nigga know what he doing. He good. That's why I'm like, give me that yearbook, cause that's the statement. Like,
thank you.
I was just hoping you was gonna say something like, if you're hearing this, it's too late.
It's too late.
It's too late, nigga. Yeah.
Two things. Although that was an amazing question that you asked.
Thank you.
Amazing. And there's a new single coming out next Friday.
Yeah, Sugar Water and Lime. And that record talks about not having the ingredients, whether it's as a management.
Sugar, water, and lime?
Sugar, water, and lime. It talks about whether it's management, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a marriage. I'm learning now, when you don't have the ingredients, you'll never get the results you want.
Yep.
And my last relationship, I was like, damn, we was really trying to make lemonade with sugar, water, and lime. Close! Ooh. But it'll never be lemonade.
Mm.
I can, when you give me sugar, water, and lime, if you met your wife and she says, you know what, you said, what's your favorite drink, baby? I love you so much, I will make that drink for you every day. She said, that's kind, I've been waiting for a man to say that to me forever. My favorite drink is lemonade. And you say, baby, tomorrow I'm gonna get the lemons, but they only had lime. And you make her the best limeade. She gonna take a sip of that and be like, this is good. This is the best limeade I ever had. And you're like, all right, bet. So I don't gotta go get the lemons. I'm gonna just make you the best limeade ever. Some days it'll be more bitter, some days it'll be sweet. But 5 years later, she might wake up and be like, you know, this ain't cutting it for me. I actually told you. And you're like, wait, what do you mean? You've been enjoying my lime. Yeah, but I told you I preferred lemonade.
Mm.
I've been making the best at what you've been giving me, but I want what I want and I need what I need. And you gotta pay attention to those little details. Because I was reading the study from this guy, he's like one of the biggest divorce lawyers. And he said, it's never a big thing, it's always the little things. I wanna say this, like, in this example he gave. He said, this woman, he asked her, he was like, you guys have this amazing marriage, you guys have built this empire. When did you know the marriage was failing? She said, it's gonna sound so stupid. He said, I wanna hear it. She said, okay, I'm a health nut and I love granola. So I have this big thing of granola in the cabinets. And when I first met him, I thought it was the kindest thing. He never let my granola. When it got halfway through, he would refill it. For 7 years, every time it got halfway, he would refill it. But then one day, the granola got a little under halfway. And she said, for 7 years, he's refilled my granola, but it's not. So she said she purposely didn't. I want to see, because we have been arguing. We're not seeing eye to eye. Let me see if maybe he just missed a day. And when it was about to run out, she said, actually, I panicked and I started taking the granola. So I would leave it out to say, okay, maybe he's missing it. it didn't happen. She was like, at that point, I knew
it was over.
It was over. Mm-hmm. The way he handled me, the way the attention to detail, the way he cared for me, it was gone.
I'm telling you this. That, what you say, Sugar Water and Lime.
Sugar Water and
Lime. That should be an album title, because that's a conversation starter.
Wow.
And it's the total opposite of Beyonce's Lemonade album. Mm-hmm. Cause that's what that album was called.
Exactly.
So when Teron, I was like, "Yo, what's Lemonade?" And he was like, "You don't know what that mean?" I'm like, "No." He said, "When life gives you lemons." I'm like, "That bitch is incredible." That's hard as a mother. Lemon is my lemonade. When life gives, I'm like, I get it. But when I heard Sugar Water and Lime, I'm like, "No, nigga, that's something."
Thank you.
That's something. And to me, that becomes. That is the first question to an hour conversation, is what you want in the music anyway.
Wow.
Even if I see it, it's like, what the fuck is that?
Exactly.
And it's like, it's my shortcomings. It's that. That's all I got. It's like, exactly. Really? So now it becomes, oh, it's about like an offer.
Exactly.
Got an idea. I wasn't. Because when you said Sugar Water Lime, I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
That's a
communication
title.
Bro, you walking, these are my lines, these are my traumas, this is my sugar, I will handle you with care, I'll be affectionate, my water I will pour into your dream, I want lemon, and sometimes it's as simple as that. What you need? Do you want lemon? I want lemon. That's just what I prefer. How can you argue with somebody that way?
You wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it's such a good conversation starter. Yeah. But I think that the music has to match, and I think that you should dive into the theme of that, because Lemonade was an angry album. Like, she was dealing with some shit. And 444 was an apology album.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I see you.
Yeah.
I just think it's a great opportunity for you. And I think that I'm always interested in titles, right? Because titles is what draws in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I seen Elijah, I'd be like, that's dope. Okay, he making a statement, period. I like the period.
Mm-hmm. Definitely like that part.
I wouldn't even add a period. I'll put period. I don't want you to miss what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah, period. But when I heard that title, I'm like, bro, please do something with that.
Thank you, bro.
Please do something with that. Make that an album. Make it, this is my ingredient. Like, make it a conversation.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that artist that are listening to this, that stayed for the final minute.
Come on.
That's what you came here for. Connectivity is what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
You have to find something that you can connect yourself to that other people are connected to also.
Yeah.
Whether that's pain, whether that's love, whether that's family, whether that's struggling, whether that's suicidal thoughts, whatever it is. The object is to say, here's where I am, and here's the music that says where I am. And if that music is strength, then it could be strength. If it's, I'm weak, I don't know what to do, it could be I'm weak. But whatever it is, the people, when they feel that, are gonna come to you. Cause anytime I'm down and I'm like, I don't know if I could do this shit, I play DMX Slipping.
Hmm.
And that line when he's like, a chip on my shoulder. Da, da,
when the last time you felt
touch.
That way?
Shit. Maybe a few weeks ago. Like I do my best to be positive, but I'm also in touch with myself. So if I'm hurting about something or I'm mad about something, that something doesn't sit well, I sit in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't run from it. Like, I sit in it. Like, why am I uneasy right now? Like, and then let's say if it's Wardell, I'm like, what about Wardell makes me uneasy? What's my biggest fear? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's gonna do something. Okay, cool. Now I'm coming to take it. Like, let's do it now.
Yeah.
Nigga, let's go, nigga. Cause I'm like, I can't, when I feel fear, it scares me but it doesn't scare me. You know, you could be scared and stay still, or you could be scared and jump up. And it scares me and makes me jump up. Cause I'm running to that shit. Ain't nobody gonna.
That's how I am.
I'm not gonna feel nothing in my body that makes me uncomfortable, and I ain't running to that shit. Cause I'm unafraid.
And I'm in that space, man. People might look at it as like, this is my most difficult era, but it's like I've been mishandled so much that even people who are trying to love on me, in some instances, I'm just kind of like, but you got to understand, like, it's been a lot of everyone projecting on me. So this way, when I say the thing I keep saying with this project is my way.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I feel like as an artist, like, we are made to feel like if we're open to opinion, that means we respect you.
Mm.
But then also when we're open to an opinion and then we consider the opinion and then we say, okay, but I kind of want to go with my gut intuition. If that gets challenged, then we feel disrespected.
Have you did artwork yet for the
For the project.
Album?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You had one?
No, I was going to say, when you kept saying my way, like, I just, all I saw was a street sign. like Elijah on the street.
But that sounded like the trailer right there.
To me.
You might have given us the content.
I gave you something. I don't want to give you something, Wardell.
But this platform is so important. I know we got to go. I'm going to just say this. This is so important. I was so excited to come here today because how often do I look up? I used to hate podcasts because I just see a lot of unqualified people giving an opinion. I'm like, this is the problem with the music industry.
Yep.
So when I sit amongst people who have protected people like myself and that type of artistry, I'm like, oh, I can talk about it. I've never spoken on some of the things I've spoken on today because I haven't felt safe.
Because it's a safe place. Because you know. I know what you mean.
Exactly.
And to me, that's what made me start this, because to me, it's all about community. And it's like, I don't care about anything, but like the cameras being here is the bonus for the people.
I forgot they were here, actually.
The conversation is what I come for. And what I learned in this, because we have a lot of, like, I don't really like to ask for people to be on this because it's kind of like, I mean, you know, I'm here. Like, you know, like, I'm here, nigga. Like, if you want to come. So even when Peter hit me, Peter was like, I got a lot of that. I got a project coming out. Man, it'll mean a lot to me if you. I'm like, Peter, you don't got to do all that. It's done.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm like, Peter gave me my first check, bro.
Wow.
When my first artist got signed in fucking January 2005, nigga, Peter Thea was the person in the room that said yes. Wow. You could call me and ask me, can your kids sit on the show? That's just who I am as a human, nigga. I know what that did for me, and I know I'm still here 20 years later. You can't tell me, Peter, don't do this. He said, I can't wait to listen, man. Shout me out. I'm like, Peter, stop acting like you ain't fucking Peter Thea.
Come on, we're down. Wardell just said this the other day.
And this game will make you forget.
Yes, it will.
They will make you. That's why I love Wardell so much. I know we rapping, but that's why I love you so much. Because you ain't never walked in the room on no bitch shit, on no weak shit, I'm just happy to be here shit. You walked in the room and said, I'm Wardell, and I matter, and you should listen to me if you want to fucking matter.
Oh, no, it's a boot. It's going to be the jury. It's going to be the shades. Nigga, it's going to be.
Ain't no downplaying. Ain't sometimes when you're with an artist, you're like, well, let me not dress like an artist.
Oh, no.
Wardell's like, bitch, you better catch up.
I'm telling you, if Wardell's doing a promo run with me, man, I gotta get a nice. Man. Yeah,
Wardell's kind of like, I put on the wrong motherfucking sweater. We get this, let the nigga know
I was gonna wear jeans today, and I saw we had on something doing
the. Now I know I got the shoes on. Wardell here. And look at this nigga's shoe.
You see
it? Now, Wardell, we wrapping up, man. Can you come here real quick, man, if you don't mind? Show these niggas your shoes. What executive? He has a Gucci hat on. Look at the shoes, Wardell. Hey, listen, bro. The only people, let me tell you something.
He's been like this forever, by the way.
I know. Forever. The only people that sign stars are stars.
Wow.
And the reason why we don't have no stars is because we don't have no stars in these companies. And if we do, their light is being blocked every day by the motherfuckers that ain't a star. Am I telling you? And by the way, I believe that so much that I could have went and got a job making $300,000 to $500,000 a year. But bitch, I'm a star whether I got your title or not. And I ain't gonna lie. And I'm gonna tell you something. When I walk in the room now, it feels good.
Yeah.
Because you're celebrating, you're talking to me because of what I've done, not because of a job somebody gave me that has no power. That's why I take it.
Come on. And it's hard because I watch Wardell A&R, some of these other, I'm like, why don't they ever credit you? Beyond like currency,
right?
Like credit is the biggest form, the most valuable. So I'm like, bro, you executive produced my album. He's like, is that? Yes, you did.
Yep.
I was sending you songs and you were saying change this, fix this, and you the A&R. And Monarch, can we make this happen?
And guess who else he works for? He works for Catherine. That motherfucker is the star of all stars. That's why she's okay with you being a star.
Exactly.
What if Catherine was lame? What if Catherine was corny? She'll hate your ass. Fuck this guy think he is. But because Catherine is that bitch, she'd be like, yep, and he that nigga.
Yeah.
And this the God Show Artist Spotlight, and we are
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.